Okay. Well, good evening, everybody, and thank you for coming out on this cold night. So before we start, has anybody got any questions that are not on the agenda? Filma.
A very quick one. Several years back in 2017, in fact, the Parish Council prepared a document called the Supplementary Planning Document, which followed on from the parish plan that we had produced at the specific request of Ollie Bolter, who I believe is now head of planning.
Yeah.
He asked us to prepare this document outlining our wishes and desires for the parish, which we submitted at his request along with an environmental study. Now, the Supplementary Planning Document has never been adopted by the Isle of Wight Council, their reasoning being that they hadn't produced their own strategic planning document and so couldn't give approval to ours. What I would like to ask this evening is if the Parish Council could write to the Isle of Wight Council, to the leader of the council, to Ollie Bolter, to Barry Abrahams, and anybody else in planning who you think should know, to ask them, please, could they look at this document and could we have it adopted? This is in light of the various planning applications that have been received, are mooted to be received, and general concern amongst residents in the parish about future plans. That's all I would request, is that if the Parish Council could contact the Isle of Wight Council and just ask them, is our document still gathering dust and will it ever be looked at?
I can answer that for you because I asked Ollie today.
And he said,
it is still gathering dust and there are no resources to adopt it.
But they don't need resources, do they? Don't they just need to look at it?
They said they need an officer who'd need to go through it and analyse it, and they haven't so far freed anybody up. And they've got, I think they've got more than one supplementary planning document. I'm just telling you what he told me.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's true or whatever, but I did ask what had happened and what's happening. So
could we then just write to the leader of the council and to the planning, saying our concern that we are planning, I see on the agenda coming up later that you are going to be discussing the possibility of doing a neighbourhood plan, which we looked at several years ago and decided we couldn't afford. I think things have changed slightly since then, which is great. And a lot of what's in the SPD will be useful for that. But if we could just clarify exactly where we are, because some of the stuff in there is very useful for what is happening currently. That's all I would like to say.
Thank you, Vilma. Brian, in view of the conversation just now, do you think you could just write to them saying thank you for writing in, and the council would like you to, you know, speed it up?
Yeah.
I did write to them earlier. I only wrote to Ollie. I'm happy to write and just ask a question of the leader of the council as well, and ask them what their plans are.
Yes, please.
And if you think any more action's required, where you're actually trying to enforce it or do anything with it, I think it should be an agenda item. And
I just wanted to bring it to your attention because, as you said, it's gathering dust all over the show.
Great. Thank you, Vilma.
Could I just add to Vilma's, would it be useful, Brian, if I sent you the paper trail of how we got to the point that we were submitting a supplementary planning document on their own advice?
If you'd like to send it to me, I'm quite happy. When I ask him, I can remind them that they asked for it in the first place. And like I say, if it's felt that people want to, the councillors want to take this further, they'll have to bring it up as an agenda item specifically, because obviously we can't really pass a resolution or do anything in these questions at the beginning here.
I'll send you the paper trail of how we got to the point of doing that.
Thank you, Joe. Right, before we start,
thank you.
Any more questions, or we'll be all night.
Could I just quickly raise one thing? I have received an email from one of the owners of the beach huts informing me that they are going to try to change their conditions of use. And I am just bringing the matter up with the parish council so that you know that they want to change the conditions of use.
Forewarned is forearmed. Thank you very much, Joe. Okay, let's move on. Mike?
Just spoke to Keith Gordon on the phone. He would like to be talking on the issue when it comes up on planning for Dave relating to the sign that's down at the cottages, you know, the temporary housing on the Dubber.
The Sultans.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
He could type his comments if he can't speak them.
I think he's talking about a planning issue that got resolved a week ago.
Yeah, we did that.
Yeah, it's not tonight. That was the planning meeting last Tuesday.
That's it.
Keith might not want to waste his time.
Move on now.
They've already resolved that last week and not supporting it.
Thank you, everyone, and Brian. Apologies for absence. We had Die Two Son.
Yeah.
I think I said earlier that Reg will turn up if he's able to. Declarations of personal and prejudicial interests. Anyone?
None for me.
No, not necessary. Right, next one is to approve the minutes of the PC held on the 14th of December. Anybody like to comment and propose, or is there any issues?
Well, I've got no issues with it.
Okay, can I have a proposal, please?
Happy to propose it.
Thank you, Becky. Okay. Seconder?
Sam, I'll second.
Dave, second, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Brian, your show.
Barry, did you have a vote?
No, he didn't.
Brian. Okay, so we've had a seconder and a proposer. All those in favour.
And there's the vote.
All right, passed. Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone. Brian, off you go.
Thank you. So since the last meeting, the week before Christmas, Seagrove Bay toilet door jammed, unfortunately, and left the cleaner stuck inside. As they tried to get out, the handle also broke. Luckily, Clean White Cleaning have dealt with the door, shaved part of it off for us, and replaced the handle for us free of charge. So I just wanted to thank them, go on record and say thanks to them for doing all of that for us. The new sign that we'd ordered a little while ago for Kerryfield's play area with all the safety and general safety signs on has been put in place, and our environment officer is extremely pleased with it, which is good because she monitors it every single week for safety, and she says it's a very good sign, which is good. That's a good sign for us. Councillor Tucson informed the other day that she'd spotted quite a large gap appearing under the path and seawall along the Dover Road. This has been reported to Marine Coastal Protection Team for them to address, to get some engineers out and fix it, so hopefully they'll do that soon.
They've done it.
Oh, great. Brilliant. Right. I wasn't
sure.
Today.
Fantastic.
Brilliant. Oh, in fact, I'll make a note of that. That's good. Thanks. Fixed. Great. Thank you. A new swing seat that we talked about requiring at Kerryfields has been installed, actually by the chairman, and with me watching and applauding from the side. So thanks to Barry for that. Socially distance has been used successfully by children since. Building on the discussion we had around Vic stores, I got in touch with them to offer them the chance for us to start an electronic petition on their behalf. They acknowledged the offer. They thanked the members very much for their support, and we will remain on standby to start a petition should they give us the go-ahead. We're just waiting for them to say if and when they would actually like us to do that. I also wrote to the Isle of Wight Council, reiterating all of your unhappiness at the handling of the Eddington Road development site. Chris Ashman acknowledged that letter, and he acknowledged the complaint from the month before, and I think I've shared his response with you. He doesn't uphold the complaint, but he does appreciate that your unhappiness with the way it's been dealt with to date. The Isle of Wight Council has acknowledged our preset request that we agreed with after the last meeting with our budget for next year, and the charge will work out as £54.15 per bandy property in the parish in the coming year. So that's all gone through and approved. Finally, sent letters to Isle of Wight Council and Beryl regarding the placement of the Beryl scooters on Nettleston Green and the lack of local consultation with for either the council or the school. Councillor Ward from the Transport and Infrastructure Department acknowledged the letter, forwarded it to the project delivery team handling it, and Beryl have invited the council to a Q&A session about the scooters. Should someone like to go along and make a point or question them about it at all? And that's the end of my report. Thank you.
Okay, so item 7 is report. So, as I said, apologies from Reg.
It's 6, it's planning, Barry. You're keen?
Something wrong with your printer, Brian.
Yeah, sorry.
So, anyway, as I say, item 9. Dave, yes, please, my friend. Come on.
Can we just talk about the Beryl e-scooter one more moment before we
move on? Who's that? Sally?
It is, yeah.
Sorry, Sally. Make it very, very brief, please, because...
And I think that we should go with some ideas in mind of where we think would be suitable locations for the e-scooter.
Yeah. I've got a couple, but we'll save that for later. Thank you, Sally. Dave, off you go, mate.
Right, planning, delegated decisions. Tangle Cottage, Ride Road, Sea View, decision granted. Bay Cottage, Seagrove Manor Road, decision granted. The 5 Sandcove Rise, Sea View, decision refused. 3 Cherry Tree Road, Nettlestone, decision granted. Sea View Yacht Club, Esplanade, decision granted. Woodlands Vale House, Calthorpe Road, decision granted. Marguerite Cottage, Nettlestone Green, decision granted. Woodlands Vale House, Calthorpe Road Ride, decision granted. 14 Spithead Close, Sea View, decision granted. And Pear Tree Cottage, Circular Road, Sea View, decision granted. That's all the delegated decisions, right? I'd like to approve the minutes of the planning subcommittee meeting held on the 12th of January 2021. Is everyone in agreement with that?
I'll second that.
Thank you, Roy. And sorry, and have you had votes? Sorry, chaps.
Right, could
chaps
we take a vote, please? All in agreement?
I'm in agreement.
I'm abstaining because I got the date wrong and missed it.
That's right.
I'm abstaining
because I was overhorsed. Okay.
It's good we've got approvals and abstentions. That's fine. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Right, this month's planning. We've covered all of them. Only one tonight this evening, and it's Park Farm again, Bullen Road. This is removal of conditions 3 and 4. On planning application number P/00001/12, and this is to allow unit 3 within the plot 3 to be used for residential use. Now, I've read the reports, and again, it really dismays me seeing these applications come in like this, because I believe there's an ulterior motive with these from the start. And in my opinion, this is a very spurious application. It should be the condition. Condition 3 states very, very clearly the holiday cottages and B&B accommodation, as identified on landscape plan drawing number so-and-so, shall not be used other than as holiday accommodation and not as a main or permanent residence. Reason, to ensure that these elements of the development remain for holiday purposes and to comply with policy SP3 economy, SP4 tourism, DM8 economic development and the principles of the National Planning Policy Framework. Condition 4 shall now read as follows. The owners of the holiday cottages and B&B accommodation as identified on landscape plan, entitled all their successors entitled shall maintain a comprehensive up-to-date register listing occupiers of the holiday accommodation, hereby approved. Their main home addresses and the dates of occupation at the site. This register should be made available to the council within 48 hours of receiving a written request to to inspect the register. Reason: to ensure that these elements of the development remain for holiday purposes, and to comply with policy SP3, SP4, PM8, all as above.
Sure, be quiet.
I just believe this, if we keep sanctioning these, this is just a creeping development. This has gone from whatever it is, it's now becoming residential. It's a farm.
It's a hamlet.
It's exactly, Barry, and that's my concerns. It's turning into a hamlet, and then it becomes an estate. And I'd like to propose that we oppose that.
Can I say something on that? Because I know the site. I've walked through that a lot. And all those buildings that got planning at the same time, they're all residential. They're all residential. There was the old dairy, the old barn.
There's four.
Two new builds and the big barn plus the two which were going to be holiday. Now, there's several new buildings there and they're all residential, aren't they? So it's not as if...
Not yet.
Becky. No, they changed biz.
Only one. They're all separate people.
Yeah, but no, hold on. They changed just before this, prior to this, they changed plot 5. They've done the same. Plot 5 was a holiday let, and they've come in and done exactly the same thing.
Sorry, Busy. I think there's a reason for this application, which it doesn't say it's retrospective, does it?
No.
You're saying there's somebody living there. My concern is
that
if we agree, approve, it's not us, it's just an opinion, but then people, you know, we've got the Dover, we've got the Nature Reserve, we've got Sultans, the world and his wife are trying to go from a resource, which brings our tourists here, to a second home. And the resources ought to remain within the parish and they shouldn't go to... permanence, and if we say, oh yeah, that'll be all right, they've been living there, they just use it as an example. You know, oh, we did it for that, it's a president. I would just say no.
And that's my point, Barry. We've got the same thing come up tonight with with Norman's Landing, someone, what Joe's mentioned earlier. Yeah. And I feel we need to try and just clamp down on this, really. Just let the Isle of Wight, you know, it'll make no difference in the eyes of the Isle of Wight Council, but I feel we should give an opinion, and we need to give an opinion.
Absolutely.
How we stand on this with this continued change of use.
You'll have something to say about this later on in your neighbourhood plan thing. But I think we're just the world and his wife so up in arms with planning at the moment, aren't we? Anyway, that's just my view.
I think what you've got to be careful of here is the fact that it's these barns seem to have, with the planning, because a lot of the farmers do, is once they've got a barn there, there's an old planning scenario to turn them into residential. And I think we've got to be strong enough to realise that here it was one farm, and, you know, they're trying to take advantage of old conditions, but we've got to be protecting the environment and the area. And to be fair, it's actually not suitable to have a lot of... It's not suitable to have too many parts to it, because it is a lane, you know, so
I'm
going to balance it.
Comment that it is no longer a farm, or the farm yard was divided up and sold off in plots to independent buyers. The actual farmer owns all the land around it and is farming it. The farmyard itself is no longer a farmyard. It's all been divided up. And sold to individuals to build them.
Can I come in there?
There's no more space for them to build on. The plots are existing building, and every existing building has been converted already.
Yeah,
I don't know. I just didn't know if you were familiar with it.
When the plots went on the market, they was put on the market at an extortionate price that no one would buy the farm that was there. And they come in. The very reason for this planning application was that no one would buy it. Now, what I would say was, if that property was marketed at the price which was sellable, it would have sold, because it will always sell. It was just marketed at an inflated price, like the Springvale Hotel was, and it sat on the market. And they know what they're doing when they do this. And to me, Biz, it's all part of the game they've played. And I agree with you. Yes, it is down there what it is now. But it's only like that because no one's made any attempt to stop it. And they've just crept with this development and moved it from one thing to another.
Dave, can I just interrupt you there?
Yes.
I think we've got to be careful not to speculate on what they're doing and what people are saying. All we've really got to do is just look at this application and really say yes or no. I mean,
yes, you're,
the cost of things is not, nothing to do with us.
No, yeah, Barry, well, it's a, no, it's not. You're right. But I was just giving Biz a bit of background how we've got to where we was.
Okay.
So what do you suggest, Dave?
Well, I propose that we object to it. It's because I think this is creeping, and I think we need to make the Isle of Wight Council aware of our faults on, you know, exactly what we're talking about earlier with Joe and Norman's Landing, and it just creeps. And it could be argued, I believe it could be argued, if this is a B&B accommodation, it is an asset to the community. It's earning money somewhere.
It's not built yet.
Accommodation.
So, are you suggesting the economic impact for loss of tourism? Is that?
Yes.
That sounds like a good reason to object.
Yeah, the economic impact for loss of tourism. Yeah.
And I think setting a precedent, whether that's a material or anything, is also a worry, isn't it?
I think we've got to do something here. Can I come in here?
Of course you can, Roy.
Right.
Sorry, Dave.
When I've been up there, you don't know what plot belongs to who. There's two other plots at the back now that are half built, the foundations are in, and when they went in, if they were going to do that, they should have asked for residential. You know, don't come on with a cockeyed story, it's going to be for tourism. There's no road into there for a kickoff, and around it looks a total mess. The drains, the manhole covers are open, you can't go to have a look at the properties because the infrastructure is not there for a kickoff, and they're just built, and they're just waiting, like you said, they're waiting now and to see, oh, right, we can get planning permission for residential, then we'll be able to sell it. That's what I think the idea of it is.
Well,
and he's right.
Once again, we might all have those comments, but I really don't want to go down using emotive language. People, you know, you just need to look at this application.
Well,
somebody needs to propose what they need to propose.
Right.
I'm happy to second the objection.
Good.
Yeah, so we've got the objection on the grounds of economic impact for loss of tourism, proposed by Dave, seconded by Councillor Hardy.
Everyone's voting for him.
Dave?
Well, we don't know yet.
Can we have the vote, please?
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Thanks very much. That's carried.
Good. That was a mess up.
Have you done any...
Any objections?
Yeah.
I'm not voting, I disagree.
Abstaining and an abstain.
No, well, I'm or doing the opposite. I'd like to be more...
Oh, yeah, so against, fair enough.
I'm against.
One against. Thank you.
Right, that's it. Planning's finished. Thank you.
Oh, is that me again then?
That's it.
Okay, thank you for that, Dave.
You've never been there.
No, any appeals. There weren't any appeals, were there, Dave?
No.
Okay, thank you.
Appeals.
I said earlier that Reg, unfortunately, isn't able to join us tonight.
Yeah, I don't think he's joined yet.
Can I speak on the sea view toilets that he mentioned?
Not at the moment, Sally, but when we get to the end of this little list, there's a little space there if you can have 5 minutes. I will come back to you. Thank you. So we haven't got the ward council though, so Nettleson and Seagrove Community Partnership.
I think isn't it the partnership? Yeah, partnership next.
That's it. Yes, okay. Please.
So I seem to be talking trees mostly nowadays, but it's very nice it is too. The tree planting project, thanks to Joe King, has carried on wonderfully well since we last spoke. At the last meeting, I reported that the trees had been planted in the Hersey Nature Reserve, 38 trees with 19 volunteers. Between Christmas and New Year, the 47 trees were planted on Sophie Watson's garden in memory of the 47 dead. And that there were a number, there were, how many, 21 volunteers were involved in that. And two, the Ansell's Cot trees copse trees have been planted. Obviously, with the lockdown, everything's had to stop. But there isn't a huge amount left to do. There's the trees at the school, a few more trees on Ansell's, and some trees on Sirius. Then there is there's the hope that we're going to plant two, what do they call them, succession oaks up at the football field. Would it be all right to ask Brian to write to the councils to ask for permission to do that?
Of course.
Yeah, and then we're hoping that those of you involved will come up and help plant them. Okay. So that's what's happened with the trees from the Woodland Trust. I don't know. I asked Brian to forward everybody the piece that had been in the County Press online about it, that we got a nice piece of promotional.
A nice report.
I wondered if the fellow members of the council would think it was appropriate to put that up on the parish website.
Yeah, it looked very good.
Shall we get that? Are you all right to do that, Brian? Is that?
Oh, yeah, yeah, no, that's great. No, good yep. news.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's no problem with, since it's been on the County Press, there can't be any problem with, permissions or anything like that.
Oh, no, it's very public. It's good.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, and the other thing I just wanted to report was, we said that the trees in pots that had been round the village for the last few years, which had grown too big, through the community shop, most of those were sold on for some money back to the partnership. And instead, the melon sheds with the pallet trees, which were all around the village, that worked very nicely after a little bit of a hiccup with Island Roads, a little bit of a hiccup, let's just say. And going on from that, the melon sheds they managed to sell a large number of trees, which has helped them with their fundraising. So they're very happy with the fundraising. They're looking at more ways to fundraise. They're still looking at various grants. I think there's one that they're hoping might come through for, I think, £5,000, which they're waiting to see which will come through. And they feel, I believe, that there is enough money. They're going to be in the situation to start work when they can start work, when it's actually possible to do so, which is good news.
Excellent news.
Right. I think that's...
Is that you, Becky?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, I'm going to just say something about that. A couple of years ago, I was very pleased to be one of the signatories that brought Sophie Watson's garden back to our parish from the Isle of Wight. Mike was there and a number of other people. But when I was asked recently by Joe, would I like to plant a tree, that felt like the icing on the cake. And I'm very grateful for that. It was just, the whole thing came together. And we've all seen those wonderful trees around that the men in sheds did. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, and I think your picture will eventually be up on the Country File website for everybody who's planted trees.
Oh, yes, that was Lynn. I've got my good side, Lynn. I'm sorry, Kevin, Pavilion, please.
Thank you, Barry. Yeah, we have actually had a few changes since we met last. We've completely revamped our website now to give it a more modern feel to it and bring it back to the UK, because my friends used to run it in Switzerland. So thanks to Island Web Services, who work out of St Helens, done a great job of that for us. If you haven't seen it, have a good look at it. We've also agreed as a trust to allow all our not-for-profit clubs to use our free Zoom website, so that they don't have to just put up with the 40 minutes cutting off all the time. And I'm pleased to say that three of the clubs have taken that up already. And we're also allowing it for the quiz night that the Nashers run on a Thursday night. Our end-of-year financial position has left us able to support the current lockdown without any issues. We're not expecting to go back to full use until probably September, though in between times there's no doubt, as it is a COVID secure environment, that as the government cut back on the restrictions, that some of our clubs will be able to go back to using the facilities. So that's it, unless there's any questions.
Anyone?
Good.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you very much. Izzy, where are you?
I'm here.
Hello. It's you, isn't it?
Well, anyone to do with the Nettleston Resident Association?
Trish, there's not really anything happening, is there?
Okay.
No, nothing.
Okay. Thank you, Loki. And IWOC.
Right. IWOC.
Can you keep moving?
Thing, we've all had the circulars, the normal thing. It's two things stood out. The main thing, I thought, was the planning training on Wednesday the 10th of Feb. And Wednesday the 17th of February. This is on environmental aspects of planning. But this is only on via Microsoft Teams. So anyone who's interested in that is welcome to go along. There was an e-bike cycle low scheme reopened. We've probably all heard about that. It's for 1 month while this lockdown's on. And it's for key workers only. Didn't seem a lot there, really, because it says it's just for the first four applicants. So how successful that'll be, I don't know. But something's better than nothing, I suppose. That's it for this month.
Right. Sally, you wanted to talk about toilets, but just bear with me a moment. You've got an item to discuss public bins. Do you want to say about the toilets now, or would you want to join in on that particular agenda item?
I could use this for the older people's agenda, perhaps.
Yeah, yeah. Whatever you feel like you'd like to report back on is great. Thanks, yep, Sally.
Okay, so Kevin Barry was very generous with his time last week and gave me quite a full briefing on the work that he'd done over the years. With Rob Webb and various others, and I'm your nominated older persons rep, and I'm going to pick up the mantle a bit more because Kevin wants to take a bit of a back seat. Rob Webb is going to carry on with senior surfers, and they are supporting people virtually at the moment, mainly through Zoom, but obviously they're not meeting in person. We talked about various things like claiming our pavements back. And I would value input, really, from all of you. If you see overgrown areas where perhaps members of the public or farmers or landowners are not maintaining the verges and hedges in the ways that they should, you know, perhaps we could monitor that and push that forward. And also look at where we've got lack of pavement or pavements that are not fit for purpose, that might not be wide enough for wheelchair and pushchair use or whatever. I'm also quite keen on pursuing the work that Joe and Lynn are very much instrumental in, which is really around our green spaces and the fact that, you know, I think that we are a wildlife-friendly village, and there is a self-designation that a few villages nationally are beginning to put their head above the parapet, and that's around members of the community, individuals, just doing things and claiming their local space and caring for it and looking after it. We were going to walk the parish again and look at the open spaces and begin to work up plans about what we want to do. So Ansell's Copse, Seaview Dell, various other places. And I would like to do that. We'd have to rush at it, but I'd like us to begin to be proactive and outward looking and do some positive things for our environment. I've joined the Older Persons Steering Group, which is an Isle of Wight wide group, and Age Friendly Island carries on. It seems to carry on generating funding, so it's here until April 2022. So if there are things that affect our largely older population that you think we should be addressing, then let me know, but I will be going to their meetings. The community partnership is obviously something that Becky's reported on, but I believe that they're going to meet virtually for their AGM. We need to encourage new people to get involved with that, really. I'll be looking at what Braiding have done and what Bembridge have done for their older people, because I think that there's some things we can learn from them. So I just wanted you to know that now that I'm retired, I've got a bit more time, and I will, I'm keen to get going, really. Thanks.
Thank you, Sally. That was really interesting. Just jumping right the way back, this wildlife trail, perhaps when you're going to walk the patch, you would invite me.
Of course, and anyone else that wants to come, please.
Thank you very much. Okay. So... Sorry, I've got
to put the
windows. Dave.
Harry.
Who have I missed, Dave? Sorry, Mike. Sorry. I keep looking at Susan, and that's why I think... Sorry about that.
On the agenda, we put down this others section.
That's what Sally was just talking under, Mike. Yeah, sorry, yes, did you have something to report back? Sorry, Mike, yeah,
because we did... The email went to everyone relating to the leader of the council in Eddington Road and the fact that he was prepared to... speak to us, which I think, especially when we had the email correspondence back from Chris Ashman, the Isle of Wight Council Director of Regeneration, I think it's having the opportunity of Dave Stewart to a meeting. It was like I said, we have a separate one. I think would give us a great opportunity to make him continue to be aware of what the parish needs are rather than what the Isle of Wight Council needs are. And I think we need to arrange that really as soon as possible so that while he's keen to agree a meeting, his schedule will be getting busier because of...
Absolutely, Mike. I said, if people can send me questions that they want to ask him so I can get a rough idea of how much time we're going to need him for, so I can, when we're inviting him, we've got a good idea.
Well, I think to be fair, it'd be best if we just agree that we're going to do the meeting and then we sort of say, roughly say, a maximum of an hour for him, let's say. And have, questions as much within that time so that we can then put the questions ahead to him so he's got answers coming back straight away for the meeting so he can be constructive.
I think it's important that the parishioners contact either Brian or any one of us with a question, because I don't want it to be seen as a free-for-all, because all you'll get is, oh, well, I don't know the answer to that. I'll speak to Fred Bloggs and I'll get back to you. We need structure from the parishioners. When Dave turns up, we look professional, because if we start looking like a bunch of doodahs, we're not going to get the corporation. We start making people's hairs.
But Harry,
via Zoom meeting.
Who's just raised the question? Will the public be invited?
Of course. But they won't be invited to speak. The reason for that is they've been invited to offer the question. Because it will just, we've got to maintain some sort of order. Sorry, somebody... I thought somebody had a hand up. Beg your pardon.
I did, but I have a hand up, but Dave asked the question.
Okay.
Sorry, Becky.
well, thank you. Sorry,
I agree. We need to get a date set, don't we, and then go from there.
I know Brian's been doing a lot of work behind the scenes, so I thank you for that, Brian.
Yeah.
Okay, any others?
So we're approving. One thing is we are actually approving it, aren't we?
Yes.
Yeah. So, Dave.
Could I just say on that, it's just before we stray onto the neighbourhood plan, it's again from Jo. She's put, how would the public know what questions to ask for that? Could we not put out something on the parish website about questions? Opinions from the public?
We had quite a conversation about that. Yeah, Brian's all over it like a rash.
Don't worry, once we've got something that people can send it, it'd be great.
Maybe if he's not coming before the next meeting, maybe we could have it as an agenda item at the next meeting.
Yeah, why not? Why not? And Brian,
what questions you mean?
On the progress,
yes, questions. Questions.
Yeah, potentially, yes. Yeah, so if he's not before that, I'll make a note of that in case he's not here before. Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Dave, excuse me, everyone, I'll be right back. I can still hear you.
Right, neighbourhood plan.
Dave.
Sorry?
It's all right, so I can hear you. Carry on.
Right. Neighbourhood plan. Right, the next step forward. It's, I think the first thing we need to do at this stage, all I really want to do tonight is to get some names for a working group. And before we actually commission someone, there's maybe lots of things we can look at before we get to the stage of actually commissioning someone. So we don't want to waste time and money on things that we can be doing. I would like the clerk to, I believe there's five other parishes on the island.
There are, Dave, yeah.
That have had neighbourhood plans done.
Yeah.
If we could get the names of those, I'd like between myself and Brian to liaise with them and find out what their views are on it, what the benefits are to them, if there was any downsides to it, how in general the neighbourhood plan is working for them. It's, yep. And then really just move it on from there. There's things like Vilma mentioned earlier, there's supplementary planning documents, although I've had the same email from Ollie Boulder. I know there's not one in force at the moment. Parish plans is, and I don't want to sound offensive here to anyone, but it's a problem with parish plans, don't carry any legal weight. And as we see with our own one, it was actually used against us. So we need to be careful where we go. But just a case, let's form the working group, let's sit down, get some heads together, some opinions, and see what we want to achieve.
Hey, and just for the
meantime, we can do a bit of research.
Just for the benefit of the meeting, I found out since we were talking about this before that the three of them are all begin with B's. Brading, Benbridge and Brystone have got accepted neighbourhood plans, and so have Freshwater and Gurnard. So they're the five at the moment that have got accepted neighbourhood plans. So they're the ones we can reach out to and ask them about their experiences with, Dave.
What was the other one?
Brading, Benbridge, Brystone, yeah. Freshwater and Gurnard.
Freshwater and Gurnard. Thank you.
And could I just add, also while we're on this, would it not be prudent for us, again, I believe we mentioned this before, is it worth us speaking to St Helens and possibly even Ryde East? Because they're both bordering us and we've got this problem, this continued problem with coalescence. So I think we need it in everyone's interest if we speak to St Helens and also to Ryde East. And maybe not have a joint neighbourhood plan, because I think if we have a joint one, we only get one grant.
But that's right, yeah.
Do it where we have three separate neighbourhood plans, if the other parishes are interested, that could work to everyone's benefit. And if it's just a case of a few of us, once we've got the working group, sitting down and viewing ideas and letting each other know what we're hoping to achieve, I think that could work very positively for the East Wight in general.
Thank you, David. Busy wants to come in, and then Rebecca.
Yeah, I just wanted to say on the neighbourhood plan, we've been talking about it for a long time, and COVID's really got in the way of it, hasn't it? Isn't there any chance that we can actually start moving on it using Zoom? If we get the... Because we've got a little bit of a group anyway, haven't we?
Well, can I just come in there? I've been in discussions with certain people today, and... it's also in its infancy. I don't want to say too much in public, but phone me and I'll tell you.
Okay.
Yeah, but, and I hope you all understand. I don't want to put something in place and it all unravels and then, like I say, but
okay.
There are some people who aren't here, but they know who they are. Was there anything else? Oh, sorry, Becky. Beg your pardon.
Yeah, I just want to say I think it's a very good idea to speak to Ryde East, since we are actually part of the Ryde, since our parish falls within the Ryde regeneration area, which is something.
Parish, can't we?
Yes, which yeah. I think is extraordinary. But so we really do need to talk to them, I think.
Okay. Before we move on, Philip.
You're muted.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, there is no doubt this last year has exposed an awful lot about human nature and human need, particularly the need for space, you know, psychologically and whatever. I'm still very aware that Bob Seeley and his island plan did take off. I mean, it hasn't really gelled yet. I mean, it does need a fair bit of support. But the thing about... you know, what we're about, what do we call these neighbourhood plans, right? That we can be isolated in them. You know, we can just be picked out. They can be fettered. There is no doubt that we all, when I say, I'm talking about islanders, we have a common cause here, and we don't want to be dumping on each other in terms of planning and or whatever. The trouble with these neighbourhood plans is they tend not to be taken notice of. That's awfully a pessimistic thing to say at this point, but I think, bearing in mind what I said right at the beginning about what's happened over this last year, I think we ought to be more vociferous in terms of what it is we actually want, because these neighbourhood plans have terrible constraints on them, and you feel you're on a loser before you even start. We need, Barry says he's been talking to people. Well, it doesn't quite work like that. I mean, there are people out there, I think our doctor is very interested in being part of this, and it should certainly not be exclusive. I know the parish plan was mentioned, and that has been abused. I'm sure an awful lot of good work and good spirit went into that, and I'm sure the best of that can be brought into play. I know Joe had an awful lot of involvement there. I'm told I'm rabbiting on.
You wind up.
But the point is, keep it open. We don't want to close mind on this. Simple as that.
Well,
come it up, Trish.
Can I just make a comment, Barry?
Please, Trish, do.
Yeah, and it's something that I just flagged up. When Sally was talking about her experiences with the older people and looking after green spaces and walking Ansel's cops, etc., etc. And it actually, I'm actually involved in dealing with a neighbourhood plan, still in the old area where we came from. But what we've actually done, and I don't know how commonly known this is, but we actually are just focusing on green spaces and nothing else. I've got some contacts, and basically what can be done is if you can actually identify important green spaces for your community, and you actually do a proper search, you have to get people to actually write in their usage of it, and it can go through a process and possibly get them designated as green space. And we were told, we're actually at the process now where our plan is being assessed. It has to go to referendum eventually, but it's actually, we've been told that if it actually goes through and is designated as a green space, it has an equivalent status to green belt, so it cannot be developed. So I just thought I'd flag that up as a good benefit of the idea of a neighbourhood plan.
Thank you very much.
Again,
Philip, in response to your comment, I totally agree with you. There is a world of resources in this parish and lots of experience. And I wouldn't say it was entirely my idea. It was listening to people that I thought, oh, that's not a bad idea. Let's see what we can do about that. And I recognise that I don't have the monopoly on wisdom. None of you lot do. But collectively, we could demonstrate to certainly the Isle of Wight Council, and if word gets out, everybody might do what we're going to do. And I don't want to say any more about it, but I thank you for your contributions. But I want everybody to come in on this. It needs to be seen as a parishional, not parish council led scheme, because the bloody parish council, they're doing this.
I think, Barry, it's worth reiterating for people who don't know that actually it has to go, I think Trish mentioned it, it has to, so whatever the working group suggests and the parish council themselves might approve, it doesn't stop there. Actually, the people have a referendum, the people of the parish, and it has to have their approval. And I'm sure if people felt that they weren't invested in it or hadn't been consulted, I don't know how that referendum would go. We all know what happens with referendums, so we have to be careful, don't we?
Yeah, Scotland. Anyway.
Yeah.
Could I just come in briefly again here? Just another thing I'd like to mention with regard to what Trish was saying there, she just jogged my memory, is would it not be worth us, from a parish point of view, I think we all support it, I don't want to make it political, but I think Bob Seeley really has a good idea with his Island Park suggestion. Now, we know we're not in the AOMB in our parish here.
Funny that.
Maybe if a few more people of us could write in, just support him, give him a little nudge, what he's pushing for, that may be good. As I say, I'm not trying to make that political, but I think anything, any help we can get off Bob, obviously is good.
Dave, you're absolutely right. I wouldn't care what colour the member is.
Ideal on that, Barry, is I mean, for example, Bob did give us, was on media, supporting our concern relating to the planning application at Puckball Hill. And that, you know, so, as you say, it doesn't matter what colour we are. The fact is,
I think
he's trying to deal with Parliament to get a better facility for us for houses in the right area.
It's a long time since we've had an MP with his drive and actual feels like, because most MPs, in my experience, first thing they go on about is the price of the ferry fares. Well, you know, that's just old hat. We all know it. Okay, anybody else like to say anything on that before we move on? Kevin.
Yeah, I just want to summarise as I've done some background work on the neighbourhood plans as well. Reiterate what Tricia said, that you have to have a referendum, but actually the level of vote in that referendum has to be very high. It's almost double what you'd normally get in an election. It's round about, correct me, 70-odd% or something you've got to turn out for it to be taken, because you're able to change, you know, not just the open spaces, like Trish says, but you're able to bring those things into law effectively, and the councils have to do that.
Well, if
equally at the start of the process, it has to be driven by the parishioners. So you have to go out and actually find out what people want first. And then the third thing I wanted to say is that if you look at any of the five parish councils that already have neighbourhood plans, you'll see that they have to report every year on the effectiveness of that plan in planning terms and everything. And I just happened to look at Cambridge's that's funny. Well, around about 80%.
Come on, who's that?
Effective.
It's
sleeping. Good God. So just to prove it works anyway. Okay.
I'd say it's...
My suspicion is it was Michael. I've muted him because it stopped. That's a...
Okay, the final word on this is all in its infancy. It doesn't matter if there's 50 people. I will not have anything to do with it because I think I've got a lot going on. I will personally appoint the chairman, and the chairman will then... choose his own resources, and then we will make space as and when, monthly if necessary. If they can phone, we can and to update everybody. And Brian, I just thought of this. If something happens in the middle of this month's meeting and that month's meeting, can we at least put it on the website so people keep it informed? Great, because I want from this is I know that this neighbourhood plan is going to take, you know, more than a couple of weeks, more than a couple of months, and we know that. But
sorry to interrupt you, Barry. We can't hear you. You need to get closer to the microphone. Sorry.
Oh, I could hear you, Barry. It was like music to my ears.
Yeah, but you're not as up as Kevin.
Yeah. Sorry, Kevin. I've got COVID. My head's completely blocked for COVID.
I want this to be driven. I said when I was lucky enough to get appointed to the chair, this was one of my big, big subjects, and I've had a lot of support from all of you. And what I want, we'll do the best we can, but we need the rest of the Isle of Wight to know that we're doing it. So if other parishes take it all up, we're in a bloody army.
I think the other thing that's worth pointing out for the benefit of the meeting is that, unlike other years, we've actually just got an approved budget, and we've actually got money put buy for this, so actually you can start working on it knowing that actually money is approved and set aside, so any work that does happen to it, there is money put aside for actually to agree to spend on it, which in the past up until now there's been insufficient funding. So.
Okay, well I've rambled on enough, Dave, and thank you all for your contributions. Let's hope you can take it forward. Sally, public things.
Oh, there you are.
So, this topic is always high up on the parish council agenda.
Yeah.
I think, given where we are, especially with people enjoying the outside more and hundreds more people with dogs, that we need a complete audit of our bins around the parishes, Nettleston, Seaview, you know, all over, and to see around sufficiency, really, and ideally even to look at the capacity of them and the suitability of them. As a, for instance, I've seen some nice ones in St Helens which have one side for general rubbish and one side for recycling materials, and the capacity of them is twice ours.
Sally, I don't wish to interrupt, could you just, Brian, would you be able to show, have you got a picture of somewhere, if you remember?
Oh yeah, if you don't mind, I'll
share the screen. Thank you.
Well, it will appear back, Sally, you carry on talking, I'll dig it up.
So I have had, via Brian, from the Isle of Wight and Island Roads, the bin locations and the frequency of collection, which varies whether it's summer season or this time of year, the winter. Some of the descriptors are wrong and some of the locations are obviously historic. One that leaps out for me is that there's one halfway down Oak Hill Road, which is reported to be for the Flamingo Wildlife Park. Well, of course, that hasn't been open for about 5 years. So I don't know if I could say, you know, an open invitation, who wants to join me? And we do a little working group and we wake up the parish and we put it together.
I'd like to help, Sally.
Brilliant. Well, can I suggest something then, Sally? And
yes.
Do you remember you were talking about doing this wildlife corridory thing?
Yes.
Could we tie the whole thing together?
You could try.
I mean, people have to go off piece to get all the places, but I mean, why not, you know, while we're counting daffodils, there's a bin over there, something like that.
Yeah. And we can cost it, and we also need to let the public know that they can put animal species in normal bins. But what we don't want them doing is leaving them in little bags in trees or at steps, you know, on the way off beaches.
Wow. Sally, just so you know, hopefully I'm sharing a picture of those much better bins that you sent us, yes.
That's one end, and then the third picture shows the other end.
Yeah. I did contact St Helens Council as soon as you sent them to ask them if they wouldn't mind filling me in on where they got them, because it might not be theirs. I realise they might actually be at a National Trust in hindsight, but so far they have not responded to me. But I did ask them straight away because I thought they looked pretty cool actually, and I liked it, liked them. But they have not got back to me yet. But I don't know the clerk there. He might only be part time, etc.
Is it Richard Priest?
I think it is. He looks after several parishes.
Yeah.
Yeah. He looks after, I think, Haven Street as well.
Does he? Yeah.
But it is Richard Priest. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. Yeah.
Is that Brian? Thank you, sir. Are you carrying on?
That's it. That's my bid. I would just like really the support of the whole parish council to have a go, if you will.
Absolutely.
Roy,
did you want to say something?
You're muted.
No, we can't hear you, Roy. No.
Come in, Victoria.
Yeah. There we go.
You've got to press that.
Well, we got it. Right.
That's it. Yeah, we're back, Roy. Yeah.
Right. You're talking about the bins down Oak Hill Road. That Oak Hill Road is now the new dog walk. You may not have experienced this, but that bin, what you're talking about, Sally, is totally full at the top.
Oh, no, it is.
Joe King has asked me if we can have a dedicated dog bin on the Dover, because there's more dog walkers at our end than there is anywhere else, because they drive to the top and they walk down with the dog and then they walk back. But the one bin that's there, the bottom of Oak Hill Road, is not adequate. It's in a very good place. It's hidden in the wall. But like Joe King says, there's dog mucking it and everything. We want a dedicated red bin to be used. And I do agree, we do need more there. Every day I go out and I see the bin is overflowing. And the one at the top of the road today, I walk past it, that is absolutely full. I know it may have been for the wildlife centre, but it's still being used. Because the people in the wildlife centre would use what was in there, not that one on the outside. So that one is used, and it's used very well.
I totally agree with you, Roy, and I think Brian will support my failing memory.
We know these bins are expensive, but I think we've got to provide them.
Yeah, if we need them, we obviously need more bins because there's.
Can I just come in? Because
they're putting the big ones on. They're too big. Those there. Sorry, Brian.
Sorry. Can I just come in because there's a caveat here, and I think Brian will support my memory, that I've got a feeling that there's an initiative, and I hope they're going to reverse it, that wherever there's a bin with near a dog bin, they want to take away the dog bin.
You're absolutely right. That's the Isle of Wight Council instructing Island Roads, because the method of waste disposal now means that dog's mess, it can be dealt with in the same way as general waste. They actually want to, the Isle of Wight Council, nothing to do with us, want to get rid of dog bins, full stop, and just use black bins. Obviously, it's a cost-saving measure. Yeah. So that's. I haven't seen them take any away yet, though. They said they were going to.
If
COVID got in the way.
Could I just come in at this point, just to tell you about the bin that I contacted Roy about that's in the seaboard?
I'm looking for it, but I can. Yeah, sorry, Joe. Go
ahead. I actually went, and what happened was, all around the outside of the bin, not in the green sack that he came away, the bin was actually sitting in a pile of what was basically an open sewer. And it was mostly dog poo bags, but somebody also has been leaving their cat litter bag in there. It's just not adequate for the job, and it's a public health nightmare. Well,
it's terrible, Joe. You're dead right.
That was going to be my argument. If we get any pushback about that, then, you know, we've certainly got to go down the health and safety line. You know.
Is the takeaway for this, Sally, would you like to, you obviously, form like a little working group where you're the chair or something, Sally, and you can have meetings, and if you want to get people together and stuff, I'm happy to dial in and take minutes and things like that, and as appropriate. It doesn't have to be formal or anything like that, because you can...
We just need more bins, Brian.
Yeah, we need to be located in the correct space.
Hang on, we can't talk at once. Becky's got her hand up.
I was going to say, perhaps we need to get on with bins quicker. And maybe, Sally, I'd be very happy to help if you want to divide the parish up into areas. I don't mind doing the area where I live. I'm sure, you can get a number of people and then we could combine and make a decision, maybe. I'd be very happy to help on but I, you know, rather than walk around the whole parish, if you tell me to do however many roads and I'll check them and whatever, I'm very happy to do that. So perhaps...
Yeah. I was looking forward to a walk around the whole thing.
Well, we could do that, Marcus.
Don't let Becky put you off walking around the whole parish.
Please stay inside. Save everybody.
Sorry. Yes.
Anybody else want to say anything on this subject before we move on? Thank you, Sally. It's very good.
Thank you.
Okay, right.
Debut Dingy Park.
Yeah, that's right. I'm sorry.
Yes. So
Debut Dingy Park. Sorry.
Yeah. So since the last meeting, Councillor Adams kindly I met up with Councillor Adams at the park a few weeks ago, and we took measurements and things. And Councillor Adams has done quite a lot of research on the best type of fencing that we could have there in terms of what would give us longevity with putting in place. And he actually created a specification that was sent to the companies that we were dealing with before. Now, I would say that the specification has only been with the companies for a few days, but quite impressively, actually, Richardson's have managed, and I've managed to forward it to you, got us a quote and a potential offer for what they could do for us. I'm not sure that the other companies I sent it to, I know we already had the information from Reynolds and Reed, which is still many thousands of pounds more than this, but I'm not sure the other companies going to be able to get us a quote anytime soon, because I think of the issues that they might be experiencing around getting materials and things because of COVID.
They're the same guy that did a wonderful job down the loo, yeah?
Yes, it is. It is the same company, yeah.
That's a testimonial anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, and it kindly, kindly, I'd say good business, as part of it, they're actually offering a 2-year warranty on their the structural stability of the concrete posts and struts, as well. But obviously, it'll only be like 12 months on things like the actual fence itself, the actual materials.
Exactly.
But that's, yeah, not it's sort of stuff you'd expect, but actually a couple of years on their actual the stuff that takes their skill to deliver for us. And so we have got a quote to consider, actually. I don't know if we're going to get any other quotes because of the strange times in which we're in, because I know how it's been incredibly difficult, this. But they have responded. Dave, I don't know if you had a chance to look at it, but I think he has addressed all the points in your specification.
I've read.
Is this the one with the green fencing? Is this the one with the green fencing? I think it's better.
No, it won't. No, Roy, the green's not better. What I've done with that, excuse me, I made a small error there on the spec. What it is, I actually mentioned 2.7 because that was what they had. That's the thickness of the galvanised fencing with the green poly.
Right.
Like that stuff, Roy.
Does it come up?
And that corrodes it quite quick. Right. It doesn't last very long. But what I should have put on that was, it should have actually been 2.4 millimetre, which is a medium duty chain link. And I put that down very specific because anything thinner won't last us.
Yeah.
And it's prone to bending. And what we also done on the space, we can put those concrete posts in at 10 feet centres. But what I've done, I put them in, I spoke to someone in the fencing company and they said they're better at 2 metre centres, which is what we've gone for. Because it makes the fence that much more stronger. And coming at it from a builder's point of view, Roy, we're paying the money for what we're doing now, getting rid of everything we're doing. The few extra posts, we're going to get quite cheap. We're going to put something in place that is far, far superior. And if we get to stage 3 years' time, if a section of that chain link goes, they'll be able to get another new roll, replace a section, everything there will be good.
Yeah, that's better, because it sags otherwise, Dave.
Yes, and well, that's what it's
saying. Becky's had her hand up for quite a while.
I just wanted to ask, not knowing anything about these things, is that the sort of warranty you'd expect, Dave? 2 years on posts and 1 year? For me, it didn't seem very much, but...
Becky, it's all builders will give you normally. They normally only give you a 12-month warranty. So that 2 years is
so it's better.
What we're getting and what we're paying for, with a concrete post, what we're paying for with a cost, is we're going to put something there which, unlike a wooden post, they should last 25 to 30 years.
Okay.
If they're put in properly, which I think Richardson's will do, I think we're putting something in place. We're putting the foundations in. If the wire goes in 5 years' time, 4 years' time, none of us know how long the wire's going to last.
No.
Obviously, it's whether, you know. But
if the
wire does go and a section of the fence goes, we can just replace the wire, you know.
Yeah. So should we be saying that if this particular quotation meets Dave's approval, you know, follows everything that Dave's asked and he's happy with it, and we don't get anything within 2 weeks or something, we should just go ahead with it? Is that what we should be doing?
The choice is yours. You can actually, if you wanted to, you could approve this tonight because it's within the sort of budget we've actually put aside. So that's good. It really is up to you, but yes, you could also put like a caveat in. You could, if you wanted to, I'm trying to think, you could delegate the decision to me in consultation with Dave and Barry to say before the next meeting, if I'm able to get another quote, I can consult with Dave and Barry, and if they're happy, then we can make a decision. With how difficult it's been to get, I'm not entirely sure we're going to get another
somebody. That seems sensible if we can do that.
Yeah, why don't we just go with this one?
I mean, in reality, I think...
Let's get this job done, because if we report back next month, it'll be another couple of weeks.
Yeah.
People can do it.
Give it into the summer.
Wipe their hands off.
Are we doing due diligence, though, if we say yes to this one as soon as it comes in, and when Brian says it's only the new spec's only just gone out, do we not need to give, say, another week for a response?
Several quotes, and it's been ridiculous. Mike, you wanted to say something.
All I'm saying is like what Dave was saying, some of these guarantees with builders, it is very difficult to tie them down. But at the end of the day, he's a local man. He's building up a good reputation. He lives in the village. So he would continue want to have his business. I'm happy in what Brian is saying, is that we delegate it to Dave, the chairman and vice chairman, appropriate to...
But we could even time box it. So say you could say... Yeah. We've got 2 weeks from today to come to a decision, and if we haven't managed to get anything back, then the clerk, in consultation with the chairman and vice chairman, will authorise the work.
Can we propose that?
Second that.
Hang on, just give me a second to write. I'm going to write this down to remind myself. Hang on.
And then it's proposes. We need to get it done.
Will you be able to let the other firms know that this is what you're doing?
So yeah, absolutely. I'm going to give them the time limit and all that kind. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'll contact them in the morning. And
because the quotes are more expensive.
Companies are too big for our little job.
Yeah.
David, you know, builders need to be told as well, because they have objects and they've got to start in the weather when the weather's good.
I mean, this has been going on since before...
I'm tempted.
You're going to have traffic there. You're going to have people taking the boats in and out.
So hang on, we have a proposer in a second. Let's have a vote.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, okay. Proposed. Okay. Seconded.
Right. Cool. Moving on.
Carried. Thank you. Were there any objections, sorry?
No, I just had a chance to stick my hand up.
Sally, you're on.
Sir. Everyone's up.
That's great. No, you've voted for it.
Let's get on with it.
So just to double check... That is for the 2 weeks, are delegated to the clerk with 2 weeks in consultation with the chair and vice chair to allow other companies to respond. Okay?
Okay. Thank you. Okay.
Right. Sally.
Are you muted?
Okay. This one's come up again for your approval, if we may. Joe and Lynn, again in the background, moved the interpretation board for the Barnsley Trail forward. We've been to a local firm called Signpost Express, and we know the budget, really. So great. I just wanted to put that to you. I've looked at our proposal for the year in terms of our finance, and Brian rather stamped this, that we have put a piece of sum in the budget line for the Barnsley Trail Interpretation Board at Neckerston, opposite Die Chewson's, looking out at that view to Spinnaker Tower, that protected view. Yep. And the actual board itself is going to be £565, which is artwork, production of the artwork, and it will be A2 and include fitting it, but it doesn't include a post. Now, at the moment, this is going to be a metal board, and the post that's in situ is wooden, so it seems to make sense that the whole thing is aluminium stroke metal. So there would be a cost for a post with two legs, whatever it is, taking out the old post, putting these new ones in.
Well, I can help out there because I've got a log burner.
Okay, well, thank you for that. Well, back to you. So really what we wanted, if we can, is your blessing to move ahead.
Absolutely.
I think we'll get a proof to agree before it's actually produced. But really, we've got it in the budget.
I'd say is, Sally, we've got at least £1,000 in the budget. Mm-hmm. So the 565, you could approve this, and you could get everyone to try approve spending up to £1,000 on the project in total. And if it turns out getting the metal post is going to cost over £450, we might have to think again. That's all. Does that sound reasonable?
It does. I like that.
I think we've got this horrible downtime. If we can get all these lovely little things done around the building. Yeah. Or they come back, you know, and say, they managed that when we weren't here. You know.
Yeah, it shouldn't cost that much to move Barry's wood burner onto the...
No, that's right, yeah.
It shouldn't cost that much.
The budget.
if we are not spending the complete £1,000, there are some nice little squirrel finger posts that cost about £40 each. Plus the AT, which if you walk the route, you need to do it in both directions. You could then put those in strategic places where it would be good to signpost the route. So,
Great idea.
Do we need to approve anything?
So the proposal to spend up to £1,000 to deliver the interpretation board. But if it gets more than that, then we won't be able to spend that money without coming back to
deliver the interpretation board and signpost and signposting on the route, because that's what you're suggesting, isn't it, Sally?
If you propose something,
can we add that bit in? Is that all right?
Signpost. Sorry, and signage on route.
Yeah.
Can we have a proposer, please?
Do you want to propose it, Sally?
Yeah.
I'm Sally, happy to second it.
Propose.
Okay, right, so that's that.
Thank you,
all right, favour.
One, two, three.
Wonderful.
That looks like a good one. Well,
are you going to vote, Sally?
Yeah, no, sorry, I stopped.
She's got a thumbs up. She's using technology again, Barry. It's good.
Oh, I see. Yes, I beg your pardon.
Thank you very much.
We're going to skip the next item, Sally, because you did that, didn't you?
Yeah.
Okay, so...
In which case, can I propose that we put ourselves forward for the beach awards again this year?
Well,
excitement.
Yeah, well, that's the next item to consider and agree, and I think that goes without saying.
I'd like to propose it, please.
I'd like to second it. I only second it because I put the flag up.
Yeah, well done.
All those in favour?
Marvellous. Just to let you know, it potentially... I want to mention the money, only so I capture it in the minutes, is it's potentially up to £1,500, and we've put that in the budget. I think it will be less than that, but it's potentially that. So I'm going to mention that in the minutes so everyone knows what you're agreeing to. And if it turns out I spend £25,000 on it, you should probably report me to the police.
Fair enough.
I think Roy is unmuting himself.
Okay.
No, he's not. Roy, you're still muted, mate.
I think he's trying.
Gone. Oh, no, there he is.
Where's tech support? Oh, there's tech support.
Yeah.
Is there only ever the two beaches that we go for?
Yeah, they're ours. We're called the beach managers for that, our parish council. Oh, we've lost Roy completely. How exciting. We've got a lamp.
How do you know it's a lamp?
I'm hoping it's a lamp. It's councillor lamp. A base.
No, it's a flower pot.
Well, don't ask me to do one of those quizzes, you know, where you've got the mystery objects and you've got to ask. I'm not going to.
Well, shall we carry on? And if he.
Well done to you. We're going to do the beach awards again, everyone. Thank you for that. That's good.
Okay. And Brian, correspondence.
Correspondence, yep. So I don't think I've got anything new to share with you.
I'm with you now.
Hear you, Roy.
Right. My concern about the beach awards is we're going for beach awards, but Brian, as you know, at the bottom of Oak Hill Road, we have still got a wreck that's been there for 3 years and no one's moving it. You've tried, I've tried environmentalists, no one's interested in moving it. How can we get an award when that's stuck there?
No, Roy, as far as I know, Tricia Stillman is following the process through. The problem is every time that the lockdown happens, they have to suspend what they're doing with physically going out and putting the signs on. So we just need lockdown to stop long enough.
Pass the signs, Brian. It's been there. It's been there now for 3 years.
No, but they as far as I know, they're going to do something about. Literally, they are doing something about it. They're doing it with quite a few things. They're doing it with ones that. What's that? Is it Newell Slip as well? The stuff there, they're doing it with that. They are taking it seriously, as far as I know, and they are trying, because they're the ones with the power to do it. They are trying to do it. And
well, you're not going to get an award when that's stuck there as a wreck.
Well, we did last year and the other 2 years, so they.
Yeah, well, it wasn't the beach award last year. Now it's a mess.
Make it a feature.
It's an artwork, an installation.
Yeah.
All right, we'll put it outside your house, Sally.
What I might not do then is, I tell you what, when I put the application form in, I might not mention it then. So,
right. Diverse from it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Brian, you had nothing circulated, but you were going to say something about
it. I was just looking to see. Now, I'd mentioned Chris Ashman's letter acknowledging our complaint and saying that. He doesn't agree with it, but he understands our frustration. We had a letter from the Isle of Wight Music Dance Festivals thanking us, and then, as you all saw, we've actually had another letter and a cheque returned. Because of the COVID restrictions, it's going to be an even smaller festival, and they said with all good conscience they couldn't take money from councils this year because it's going to cost them hardly anything to put on. So I shall be destroying that. I have cancelled that cheque and that sort of stuff. You all saw the stuff earlier today. You knew in from the Adams family who live at Flamingo Park. A couple of lots of information about where they seem to be having some issues with HMRC over business rates and things like that. And you've all seen that already? They were just popping us out for information.
Yeah, we don't need to comment on that.
No, not really, because there's some very inflammatory stuff in there again, and I don't think it's our job to necessarily go on record saying...
We may have sympathy with our parishioners, but...
Brian, can you forward a copy of that Chris Ashman one, where I've been dealing with that?
Yes, I will send it. I sent it out on the 22nd of December, but I can send it again. I'll remind myself to resend that to you.
Yeah, I missed that one. Thank you.
No worries, right? I'll make a note of that.
Finances, or have you got something else, Brian?
Okay. Is this where I could do a bit of updating on some of the things I'm doing?
No.
Right.
But I'll give you a minute. I just want Brian to just skip through his little bit and then... sorry, Sally, I didn't mean to be abrupt.
So that's the end of the correspondence. On to
good.
The finance.
What about any... reports? Reported, is that different?
On it.
But basically, circulated is stuff I've given to you. Reported just means I hadn't had chance to send it to you all. But
reported from someone like me that's got a few things?
I'm going to save you.
That's
your son's correspondence.
Yeah, this is just correspondence. This is just letters and emails we've had. That's the report section.
I've got some of those. Where do they come up?
If you want to talk about it, why not? Yeah, if you've got a couple you want to, why not?
I wrote to the National Trust in regards to the footpath through Crywood across the top of Nose Point Holiday Camp and down into the Dover there, because it's pretty impassable. And with more people walking, what's happened is the slipper clay's got worse. People are trying to make their own path through, so the footpath is being widened. The duck boarding has failed, et cetera, et cetera. And I got a really quick and really good response, which said that there's a national initiative to open up walkways around the whole of the coast of the UK. And this is a key one that's part of it. And they've got it on their agenda. And it's going forward to the Secretary of State. And they have plans to spend money on that, but we just have to be patient.
Which one's that, Sally? The one which goes from Priory round to the coast?
Yeah, through the woods.
Yeah. Through where it's filthy, isn't it?
You can't even barely get through it in the summer. Thanks for that, Sally. That's really
interesting. I've got two more, if I may.
Hang on. We're going to be here all night.
If you've got letters like that we want to put on record, if you forward me a copy, then I can be pre-warned and have them with me and
put on the agenda.
Yeah.
At the end of this, we've got a section for information.
Yeah, that's a good point, Barry. That's a good place to put it. Thank you.
Move on, and then Sally can have her head.
Yeah, on information. Thank you. I haven't got my notes section set up very well to take a lot of notes there, so thanks for that, Barry. You've dug me out of a hole there.
Another black mark.
Yeah. So finances. You saw the receipts and payments I sent around earlier today. Any questions about those?
No, fine.
Thanks. And we've seen there are no grant applications this month. And you all saw the summary from last week I sent you around for the month in general. Any questions about the financial summary for the month?
No comment, no.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you. Sally.
Yes, thanks.
Away you go.
Sorry. I followed up the cycle paths between sort of Puckpool and Apley. I just noticed in the summer there were a lot of cyclists not going through Puckpool Park, but actually cycling either along where the beach huts are or the lower path, the concrete path, between the Del Cafe and sort of the boathouse. And they put accounting wire down, and the feedback was that there were people that were going along that way, and they weren't exceeding the speed limit, except there's some blind bits, I think. And if you're walking, you don't expect a cycle to come at you. But they are looking at improving the signage at each end. So feedback back.
Can I just comment on that, Sally?
And then I have to cycle along there.
I've got a feeling there was a woman.
Obviously, she's got Mrs. Smith, right? Yeah, a beach hut owner.
She had the beach hut, and she brought this up. And I mean, to say that they weren't speeding excessively, if I do less than the speed limit in a one-way street, will I get away with that? You know, I've seen, I mean, Fiona and I walked along there, and some people have been downright rude, get out of the way, and other people shot past you. You don't, shouldn't. It's a shared path. People should take it cautiously. But when you get to the cafe and when to the other end of the beach, just, people got to follow the proper route because there'd be an accident. Anyway, thank you, Sally. Continue.
No, that's okay. The other thing, I live in Ride Road, which has got a heck of a camber, and about three times a year we get a little mechanical lorry with a brush that comes down to sweep the gullies, and we never know when it is. And if we knew, we'd move our car out of the way so they could do a good job. And Dear O'Brien got the Island Rose to give us a road sweeping schedule, and that doesn't just cover Ride Road, it covers the whole of the parish, and different roads are on different cycles. So the idea is that we put that on the website, so if you live in a road that gets swept and you know when they're coming along, you can move your car if you want. So
I'm going to try and get that onto all the social media stuff as well when I do that, to read,
good
to
idea. Sort
of see if we can make it a thing that people really think about. Like, I thought it was a really good idea of Sally's, and I know as a resident myself, I thought, oh, that's a good bit of value as a councillor, Sally's given us there, because that's the sort of thing I'd like to know as well, because especially with how parking is for us around here, and it is for Sally and her road, it's nearly always busy, so you don't really get the full value out of it. So, you know.
The next one is Kerry Fields Playground. I was dropping something off to Nick Warren, our business partner, and I just noticed in Kerry Fields that there's a bit of a litter around. I thought, well, I'll just pick it up.
Sally, stop a second.
Honestly, something's gone wrong.
Somebody was scratching. No, obviously not. Anyway, sorry. Yeah.
Kerry Fields Playground is a real old quagmire, and I didn't know that until about a month ago. So I'm always saying we put a lot of money into that and I never see any children in there playing, and now I think I know why.
Sally, Brian will be able to help you with this because we've had this conversation. We were, when we did the chair, the seat the other day, Brian, remember?
It's all frozen.
But Brian?
Hello? Well,
Brian, Sally's concerned about the very large, you can't really call it a puddle up at Kerry Fields, and we had a conversation.
The biggest puddle, which is a very, very bad one, in front of the football post, that's going to be dealt with in the spring by Brightstone, because it's actually something that's come up on the safety report last year. And so, thanks, Sally, you're quite right, that's something we've seen. But you guys had already approved back then to deal with it. We were hoping to do it last year, but then the COVID restrictions came in and they didn't do it, and we weren't sure when the park was going to open. All this, and we lost our opportunity. Because you can't do it too late in the year, because apparently you'll never get the mud and turf and whatever to take. So hopefully February, March this year, Brightstone are going to get that sorted out for us. And instead of having up a massive swimming pool forming in the middle of the park, we will actually have a raised proper bit of ground that hopefully will stop flooding.
Will it be draining properly?
Hopefully they're going to do is they're going to build a camber into it to make it all go into the house next door of the person who always moans about it. I'm joking. Hopefully it will. Yeah. There's a lot of clay. Everything's clay all around there, apparently, Neil told me from Brightstone. So that's always going to be a problem. But it looks even worse because there's this huge, genuinely, over the years of children playing football, it's carved a big circle, oval out of the ground, which turns into a little duck pond. In fact, I think when I first started, someone used to jokingly stick a rubber duck in it every so often. I know the environment officer used to enjoy seeing that and taking pictures for me.
When she was a little girl.
Yeah.
Tim, really quick, just for information. I think, like you, there was a lot of fly posting on our lamppost of the Save Westridge Farm back in September time, late autumn, which was fine at the time, but the people did not come back and take those fly posters down. So when I've been on my daily walk, I've got my scissors with me and I have been removing them. And I have sent an email to the people whose number is on that and just said, look, if you put these up, you must take them down when the date's gone because you'll fly post me. So that's
well done.
And the last thing is Seaview Toilets. Dear old Reg and I, we've been battling on, and, you know, he's been great. And the latest thing is, and this is from Ashley Curzon, Assistant Director of Regeneration, I've now had the opportunity to discuss the above with Councillor Tindall. This is dated 6th of January. Whilst the hotel has a legal obligation to keep the toilets open to the public, apart from specified reasons, the exceptional circumstances we find ourselves in during national lockdown leads the council to consider it unreasonable to seek their reopening at this time. The council will keep this matter under review and dialogue with the hotel to make them aware of their ongoing obligations and our expectation that these facilities will open as soon as is reasonable. So I've got 2 points. One is, should we be putting toilets back in Pier Road? No. And should we be charging the Seaview Hotel? No. And secondly, we must make sure that the notices that were on the front and the back of the Seaview Hotel telling the public there are public toilets inside are put back, because at the moment they've been removed.
Okay, I'd like to
Sorry.
Sorry, Becky, you, 1 minute. First of all, I'd like to get back. By the wording of the Isle of Wight Council, they have essentially made the decision that it's okay, close them. And, you know, for all the emergency reasons we got on, I see absolutely no reason why we should fund those toilets. We only funded them recently and previously because we weren't paying for the toilets elsewhere and we had a little bit of money left over. So I'm very much against that. Becky?
I was just going to say, I completely agree with you. Can we not write straight back to the council and say, if you know, we accept this, but what are you doing about it?
Exactly.
You know, what are you as the council doing about this? You know, we need it for, you know, people need to be able to, you know, people are allowed to go for a walk. People, you know, suggest that they put some portaloos.
If they say it's all right, then maybe
they put some portaloos in there. Yeah. In their car park. I think we should just write straight back to them and
I'll tell you what then, Sally has got all the information, she's done a lot of groundwork. Perhaps you could liaise with Brian and come to a form of words.
Yeah.
Pin it round to everybody and we'll all go get it done.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Not everybody's talking. In the order that I've got you on the screen, busy.
Oh.
Thank you. Dave?
Finished.
Becky?
I was only going to say that Sally's obviously been working on things for us that we've asked her to deal with that have been suggested. And it did come up in a meeting a couple of times ago that how were councillors reporting back on things they've been asked to deal with. Should we perhaps have a section after the clerk's report for councillors' report on things they've been dealing with?
All I'd say is, in the report section, the other bit has always been there. And we did do a bit of that today. So I think if people have regularly, but if say for instance the bin working group was going to be an ongoing thing, maybe that could become a regular item, and you have you know whatever you want to call that working group.
I don't mean in reports. I just mean as a you do a clerk's report, and then because this was raised by somebody that was. It was raised by Kevin Berry.
And you know, and we've always had a mechanism for it.
Yeah.
Where is it in
reports?
Yeah.
In reports, it's the others bit there, when it gets decided over a period of time that something is a regular thing, then it gets added to it. Because this is different. When I was a councillor, it's a different set of reports. And you just update because you think, I'm going to actually regularly have something from this group.
But I'm not talking about something that's regular. I'm talking about something like Sally reporting back.
Yeah, that's why it's others. For others.
Well, okay. I get it. And it's always been there. Maybe we could just make it so, I don't know, Where people, because this is where stuff gets reported back, activities taken on by councillors or something like that. I mean,
that's what I meant. Really,
what it is, but some people don't. But
Yeah,
I think all I'd say is that what that invites then is making the meetings, which we tend to overrun a lot of the time anyway, we're not being too bad tonight, which is really good, is you'll probably, especially when we've got 10 councillors, you might have people thinking, oh, I'm really going to have to come up with something, and then you end up with 10 people taking half an hour each reporting back.
It would only be something that had been on the agenda the week before. The month before, like on the last month's agenda was toilets. So that could be, you know, that would just be the report back on item, whatever it was, but from the councillor who dealt with it rather than from you, Brian.
The other way of policing that then.
Oh, is it just me? Or has everyone gone?
Right. Well, yeah.
The other way of policing that, because I take what Brian said, it could turn into a...
I agree. We don't want that.
No, but what we could do, if a councillor is going to report on a something, he tells Brian. And then we would know that Fred Bloggs and John Smith and Julie Watson.
What I'd say is Mike's been really good with this. When he's had stuff to do with Eddington Road, he always contacts me and says, Brian, can you get Eddington Road on there? Because I've got something I need to say about it. And so I add it on there and Mike does it. So it's one of those things. I just think personally, and I know from when I was a councillor, I think we're just in danger of making our meetings last till midnight if we're not careful by adding too many, because people will feel that they should fill that time and things like that. So
but if it's a report, if it's in under a report after clerk's report, you know, then a councillor's report on a specific thing, then nobody can talk about it. It's just a report. People don't, you know, it just doesn't mean people can get involved in the discussion because it's just a report.
Yeah, and we have got others. It's just one of the things. It's just how I don't know how many different ways to say this. It's just we've got a mechanism to report back anyway, which exists and always has done. And it was when I was a councillor, and that's how.
So you want the councillors to report back to you before the meeting?
No, in others. We've got it. It's always here. It always exists. Okay. Like we used it today.
It's just in the other section. And if it becomes a regular feature, it gets moved on to where.
Yeah.
Which I brought up earlier.
Yeah. Okay, guys. Mm. Mike.
Okay. Nothing from me, Barry.
And Roy.
He's gone.
He's done the thumbs up.
Right. Thank you very much, everyone. And as soon as this working group that I'm working on, I will let everybody know too sweet. Okay?
Thank you, Barry.
Thank you.
Thanks, Barry.
Thank you, Brian.
Bye.
Thanks, Roy.
Bye.